talked about it a bit yesterday. This saga continues regarding the House of Representatives, U.S. House of Representatives, and they're speakerless at the moment. While they have an interim speaker, there's some work getting done. But Kevin McCarthy can't get over the top on his bid to be the House Speaker. What does that mean? I'm not so disturbed over it all. I like the fact that this party is not afraid to tangle with itself. But then again, you know, we've got the American public to look out for too, right? They do. We'll talk about that today with Drew Lazowski from Yellowstone Strategies today on Voices Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today, 866-627-5483, or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. And now, here's your host on Pirate Thursday, Tom Schultz.
Is it Pirate Thursday, really?
It is, matey.
Okay, thank you. I missed a memo on it. I'll chop off an arm later on today, okay? And just in honor of it. Hey, welcome alongside. Appreciate you being here. We're two decades strong, working on three, and we'll keep working hard at it, all right? And take a deep breath. You know, we're in this political season here, Montana, the 68th Montana Legislature, doing special reports for many of our affiliates. So I'm very much involved. We are in that as well. And then you take a look at the U.S. House of Representatives and what's going on there. Of course, the Republican majority voted in. It wasn't a red wave. I think there's some things, and we did talk to Drew about that. It wasn't necessarily this red wave that people were thinking. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And I think the party wants to adjust. And this is what we see in the House of Representatives right now is response to, well, not just this last election, but a couple of elections and certain leadership issues. But what is the other alternative, right? McCarthy, I think the latest voter, he's getting near there. He needs 218. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me introduce Drew Lazowski, managing partner at Yellowstone Strategies, a political and grassroots consulting firm. Drew's been on here a number of times, does a lot of things in Montana with water projects. Also, still love that poker thing that he did. Are you still a poker player, Drew?
I'm still a poker player, yes, but not a very good one. So if you want to play with me, I'm what they call a fish.
Oh, what does that mean in poker, a fish?
That means I'm not very good. So if there's any $100 games out there, you should invite me.
Okay, yeah, I'm game for that. And maybe you and I would be the first two out because I like it. I'm not bad at the game, but I'm too transparent. You can read me like a book if I'm at the poker table. And so anyway, right. Yeah, I got some skills to work on. Hey, thanks again for being here. Why don't you just start, right, about the situation in the U.S. House of Representatives and tell us kind of where we're going with it.
Sure. Well, I appreciate you having me on, Tom. I'm standing here in the shadow of the U.S. Capitol. It's a beautiful sunny day with white pillowy clouds and a balmy 60 degrees, if you can believe that. And what a beautiful day here in the swamp it is. As you know, the House is in turmoil right now. As we talked before, Republicans were expecting a big red wave come November. That didn't materialize. Under the leadership, we barely got a majority. And in order to hold on to gain the majority in the House, you have to win 218 votes. And currently, Congressman Kevin McCarthy, who has led the effort to become Speaker, has not been able to do so with six roll call votes in the last 2 days. And that is not unprecedented, but it is definitely a fascinating process unfolding before us.
What does it mean? I mean, like I said, you know, of course, the mainstream media, misleading, I should say, and then the opposition party, the Democrats, are going to try to make some hay out of this disarray. I talked about it yesterday, and I don't like those deadlines, but it's maybe not necessarily all that unfair, but I'm okay with a party like this. I think there's a lot of diversity in it, so I don't have as much an issue as some might have.
Well, you know, the GOP stands for the Grand Old Party. It's a party of a big tent. And so you do have a diversity of thought, and you have people of every race, creed, and coalition within the party. It's interesting that you see the Democrats are united because they tend to be able to fall in line with their leader and take their orders from their speaker or minority leader. What does this mean for the country is because we don't have a Speaker of the House, we're not able to swear in our new members of Congress, particularly Congressman-elect Ryan Zinke. He is able to vote for the Speaker, but he doesn't have any official position. He's not sworn in yet. We see on the Intelligence Committee in the House, they're not able to go into their briefings with military folks from the Pentagon or the White House because technically the 118th Congress hasn't started because we don't have a speaker. So there are some ripple effects that are starting to happen. And that's important because, you know, we're sending billions of dollars to Ukraine and there currently is no House oversight for that. So while it is interesting to see what's happening, there is going to be some ramification going into the next coming month.
What is the ramification for those? Now, this will eventually be decided, and I know that the Speaker candidate McCarthy is out there kind of making deals. That's what's going on, and let's just call it making deals. What kind of deal making is going on? This is going to be kind of some supposition, but also there's been some reporting on it too. What do you hear, sure, Drew?
Well, talking to my contacts and close allies on the Hill, it sounds like McCarthy believed he was going to have a big red wave, and the dissenters within the Republican Party, mainly the House Freedom Caucus folks, their voice was going to be drowned out by the fact he would have a big majority. That did materialize, and so we have approximately 20 members who are saying no to Kevin. Right now we have five who have come out publicly and stated they will never vote for Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah.
Well, that is, that's very dangerous for McCarthy if he wants to become Speaker.
Well, it's an unnegotiable position.
Correct.
When you make that statement. Yeah.
Correct. And so if you're never a Kevin person and they have the right to do that, that means no matter what concessions he makes to the House Freedom Caucus, it's not going to matter. He's going to have to get potentially Democrats to either support him, or he's going to have to ask for a voice vote, or he's going to have to ask for a secret ballot, all of which is under the old House rules, because there aren't currently no House rules because we don't have a speaker yet. So Nancy Pelosi, former speaker, she's not in charge, but her rules are still governing what's happening. Fascinating.
Well, and I have read too some information on some of those new rules proposals in particular, and I know those probably are part of this negotiation package, so to speak, when it comes to McCarthy. And so we'll get into that a little bit, but how does this relate to now? I know that there is another fight in the GOP at the national level for the leader, Ronald McDonald, what is that position? I don't have it in front of me here. RSC, is it?
The RNC.
Yes. RNC, yeah.
Well, and their job, and to be the head of the RNC, is you are recruiting new candidates, you are raising money, and you are putting your shoulder to the wheel and promoting and advancing Republican priorities. And again, without somebody in that position, we're all in a stalemate party-wise until we know what the direction of the party is going. And that's what we're seeing here, Tom, is you're seeing a good old-fashioned fist fight between a minority in the Republican Party and the majority. And it's going to be interesting to see how that comes down and what the ramifications are should Kevin McCarthy become Speaker, particularly for members of the Montana delegation who aren't supporting him, per se.
And what is the ramification of that? I mean, that's one thing I think that you had noted when we were chatting, is that number one is, okay, what's the alternative? What are those options? And then what are the consequences of a vote and a very strong position against who potentially could be the next Speaker of the House?
Well, these are the things that those who are voting against McCarthy are going to have to look inward to themselves and find out if it's worth it. One is will they be able to go on to choice committees? Will their earmarks, if they choose to support earmarks, will those be able to advance? Will they be able to even serve on any committees? I mean, will Kevin McCarthy, should he become Speaker, will he just simply remove them and they can only vote on full House bills? Will they be part of the RNC's effort to raise money and advance Republican issues? And then on top of that, for instance, Mr. Rosendale has voted 6 times against Kevin McCarthy in the last 2 days. We will see how he votes today. There's been some interesting movement on his part. But will Kevin McCarthy, should he become Speaker, will he remember that? And how does that affect Montana, eastern Montana? That is yet to be seen.
And, you know, I wonder, and I don't know, and maybe you would. I saw it, you know, in a hearing in the State House yesterday, just a member getting up and saying, you know, it's not unusual to go up against each other. As long as you don't take it personal, you can work together on the next project. So let me ask you and your impression, how much do they take it personal? How much does that weigh in versus, and maybe you can't answer it because it's really not a fair question, but, you know, how much does that weigh in versus I'm a public servant and, you know, my personal feelings about somebody or something is not going to weigh in any of my votes?
Well, when you're bitten by a dog, you never forget it. I mean, you will always remember who your enemies are and who helped you in your darkest hour, and you always remember those who didn't. So I think politics does have a long memory, but in such a thin majority, whoever the speaker is going to need as many Republicans as possible in order to support Republican priorities. The problem we have is because Republicans have a thin majority, in order to pass anything, potentially, they're going to have to still get Democrat support, which means Republican priorities will be watered down, and they will be less effective on advancing Republican concerns. So deals will have to be struck, and people are going to have to hold hands, even if they don't like each other and have long memories about how they didn't help in Kevin McCarthy's time of need. But the interesting thing is I have seen a little, not much of this in the news, Tom, and I know you have because we spoke about it, because you're smarter than me, but right. Donald, former President Trump endorsed Kevin McCarthy yesterday and urged all of the 20 to vote for him. Not one single member of the House Freedom Caucus or any of the dissenters took his advice and voted for McCarthy.
Mm. Boy, that's underlying, isn't it? That's well, and I've read somewhere, too, that, you know, people are reading into that. I want to see what you read into that. I got to take a break here. I'm interested in what you might read into that. And then also, Drew Lazofsky, again, he's with Yellowstone Strategies, the managing partner there, involved in the Lower Yellowstone Irrigation Project. I think that was one of the last times we talked to. And then Montana, I think it's North Central Montana Water Project.
Correct. North Central Regional. Yes.
Yeah. I want to get an update on those, too, since we got you on the phone. Sure. Take a break and come on back with Drew Lazofsky, managing partner at Yellowstone Strategies. Sixth-generation Montanan, went to University of Montana, resides now in D.C. I guess he's back here a lot, too. I know, because I get videos of him out there fishing when I'm not. Anyway, back with more of Drew in just a bit.
There's a lot of tradition in farming. My son picked up everything, When my grandson was born, we were both chewing, thinking about what could happen, mouth cancer or worse. Finally, we decided that's addiction, not tradition. To protect my grandson, we quit. It was the Quit Line that helped us quit for good this time.
If you want to quit, call the Montana Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW or visit quitnowmontana.com. Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services.
Welcome back. Appreciate you being here. Tom Schultz alongside. I think we'll get Brian Bennett's headline news here in just a little bit. And pleasure chatting again with Drew Lazowski, managing partner at Yellowstone Strategies. And again, I've chatted with him. One of the things, and Drew, I kind of give you credit for this frequently because I use it frequently too. And it's become something in my mind when I feel myself getting anxious about things. Don't make politics a religion. So kudos to that. See, you are smarter than me. Anyway.
We'll have to play poker and find out.
Yeah. let's go with Lower Yellowstone. Any of those. Well, wait a minute. Let's finish up here with this discussion, okay? Where do you think it goes? And then this take on former President Trump saying, you know, supporting McCarthy. And then those members of the Freedom Caucus, who I'm sure, you know, all have many have relationships with Donald Trump and probably strong relationships with Donald Trump. What does that say to the rest of Washington, D.C. and America?
Well, I think we're still too close to the mirror to see the full picture yet. But what I think we're going to see potentially is that the former President Donald Trump's power within Washington and within the Republican caucus is waning, and that people are moving beyond him, and that his influence in Washington is starting to wane. Time will tell on that, but we will see. One of the things that is, there's many aspects to what's happening, Tom, and just for your listeners, there's a major development over the night, which was the Club for Growth, which is a conservative organization which has supported significantly Congressman Rosendale in his efforts to run for Senate and then, of course, to become a congressman. Last night, they had been actively opposing Kevin McCarthy's speakership. And last night, they did come to terms with the Congressional Leadership Fund, which is a McCarthy-aligned super PAC. And those two organizations came up with some rules that they would be able to follow in order to support Kevin McCarthy. So it will be interesting to see today at noon when they start doing their next vote how Mr. Rosendale, if he takes heed here and throws his support in through Kevin McCarthy. Only he knows that, but I will definitely be watching to see if this decision by the Club for Growth has any impact on his vote for speakership. And then just the other thing, Tom, and nobody's talking about this, but yesterday we had, for the first time in the history of our republic, we had two African Americans be nominated to be Speaker of the House. The first is, of course, the Democrat Hakeem Jeffries, and from New York, who is most likely to be the minority leader. But then we also had Congressman Brian Donalds from Florida. We've never had this before in the history of our republic that I'm aware of. And so you're starting to see a lot of the race baiters on the left come out and say that Mr. Donalds, while he is sincere, he's only a he's playing into white supremacy, and these undertones are just flowing through D.C. And it's definitely an interesting time in our history to watch this and hear this. And
wow. I've read some of that too, and I'm very disappointed in, in that double standard. We ought to be more professional than that, in America, in the industry. Still curious in Washington, D.C. about, okay, once we get past this, and I know, and I've talked about it yesterday, they may be lowering the vote total with people being encouraged to vote present, and those are just things that, that can happen. It happened with Boehner. It happened with Pelosi as well. In you know, several years ago, that could happen here. When we get back to kind of, you know, normalcy. Well, I can't even use that anymore. What do you think that we'll get back to? You know, regular order, and what will that mean for the country?
No, I don't think we'll get to regular order. And I think it will be difficult because the majority in the House is thin for the Republicans. In order for them to pass conservative bills out, it's going to be difficult because they're going to need Democrat support. Also, the Republicans don't have the Senate. There's a 51 Democrat majority. So anything the House does is going to have to be supported by the Senate, and the Senate isn't going to necessarily support conservative Republican bills. And then on top of all this, and this hasn't been mentioned, is these 20 that are voting against Kevin McCarthy are also folks who vote traditionally against debt limit increases. We are facing a debt limit increase in the very near future. In order to keep the government going and to continue to borrow money for social service programs, et cetera, we have to borrow the money to do that, and they don't support that. So with them not supporting McCarthy and requiring him not to increase or expand federal expenditures, we're going to be right back where we are today in several months.
You know, and that reminds me of a couple of things over the period of the last few months, listening to so-called experts, or at least people who have expertise in it. A couple of views, one saying nothing's going to get done in the next 2 years. Everybody is going to be in, you know, a dead-end Congress. And then another view says, watch out, you know, the Biden administration is going to push and be successful in pushing very, left-leaning bills. What's your view?
Well, the Democrats are united. We're hearing that in every corner of Washington, and the Republicans appear not to be. The Democrats will take advantage of that. And of course, the White House will as well. I mean, the EPA just quietly reinstated the law, you know, the Waters of America, Waters of the U.S., which is going to regulate water and ponds and ditches all across the United States in a way that it's going to be detrimental to agricultural and construction and moms and dads everywhere. And the House potentially will not be able to do the oversight that's so desperately needed, particularly over Ukraine, the Defense Department, the social welfare programs. They won't be able to have the strong subpoena power that the Republicans so desperately wanted to have. So it's going to be a very interesting and long night for the next 2 years, that's for sure.
Well, we're gearing up for it. Drew Lozovsky, again, managing partner at Yellowstone Strategies, as I mentioned, does work, a lot of work in Montana, Lower Yellowstone Irrigation Project, and North Central Montana Regional Water Authority. Give us an update on where we are.
Sure. Well, you know, Lower Yellowstone Irrigation out in Sydney, Montana, and intake in that area, eastern Montana, is a fantastic project because it shows that you can have agriculture and conservation to help restore threatened and endangered species at the same time. And what I mean by that, Tom, and for your listeners, is if anybody has the chance to, the Bureau of Reclamation and the Army Corps of Engineers last year in July did a ribbon cutting ceremony and opened up a bypass channel around the historic weir in the Yellowstone River. That weir was to divert water into the canal that then went into to irrigate the agricultural fields between the Yellowstone and the Missouri River. That bypass, the state biologists and the federal biologists have tagged dozens of pallid sturgeon, and they have tracked those pallid sturgeon for the first time through that channel and above the weir, which means the we're going to start seeing a major increase or a big increase of pallid sturgeon above that weir. And that's fantastic because native species will be able to traverse that area of the river. It's going to open up more habitat, and it's going to enrich every Montanan's life.
And north central Montana, we have enough time, I think, to catch an update there, too.
Right. I'll give you a quick update. Most people don't know it, but north central Montana is one of the most significant water projects in the United States. It was allocated by the federal government to bring drinking water to the Chippewa Cree Reservation and Nation, and it extends pipelines and water treatment plants from Cutbank to Shelby to Haver, and every point in between is a massive undertaking, and we are in the process of receiving federal infrastructure money to help continue and get that water going. People will finally be able to have clean drinking water in basically one third of the state of Montana. So what a project, and that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, and there are many of those around the state too. Drew, I appreciate the work you do. When are you getting back? What's your what are you doing for fun?
I will be back in a couple weeks, and we'll definitely go out and play some poker or something. But I'll be back soon enough.
All right. Well, you let me know where that's at, and I'll broadcast it, statewide. And bring your wallet for that, okay? Because
we'll do it. Appreciate it, Tom. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Drew. Appreciate the work too. That's Drew Lozovsky, managing partner at Yellowstone Strategies, and worked with under two presidential administrations, managed state campaigns. It's just been a guy who knows a little bit here, and appreciate his expertise. Going to come on back. I missed the news break. We'll probably get to that. Helen's been waiting in Corvallis. Helen, thank you for waiting. Stand by. We'll get to that. We have some a chance here to get to some open calls. I'll talk a little bit about a news report about 150,000 votes in Wisconsin that's not tied to a valid address. What does that mean? More ahead. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Mountain Health Co-op.
Work-based health insurance not working for you and your family? Aware of new tax credits that reduce premiums for dependents? Now's the time to enroll. And if your work-based health insurance isn't working, Mountain Health Co-op has you covered. With benefits like dental and vision exam reimbursement options, many zero cost-share medications, and telehealth access, Mountain Health Co-op can help you start saving on services you use most. Mountain Health Co-op, keeping you covered when it counts.